today as we come to the table.
Do you need to clearly hear the voice of the Lord? Is that something you need? Again, I think most of us in this room would say, yes, that's something I need. I always need to clearly hear the voice of the Lord. Then you do the same thing they did here. Set aside time to worship, time to pray, time to be in the Word. Maybe set aside, start out if you've never fasted with a short fast and whatever, and begin to seek the Lord in that way. And God's going to begin to speak to you in a way that you can clearly hear. You say, Lord, I need an answer. I don't want it to be me. And I don't want to be confused about this. Then God says, you do this, do what they did. I will speak to you. God will be faithful as we deaden our senses in this world to be connected to the spiritual.
Remember the last time God spoke to you? I'm not talking about an audible voice coming down from heaven. That's rare. But when's the last time you heard His voice speak to your heart? For many believers, it's a challenge to remember a moment like that. It isn't something unique to the people we read about in Scripture. God will speak to you if you give Him the opportunity. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will challenge us in today's message, we need to set aside time with our Father. His Word is more readily available today than it's ever been, and He's ready to listen and speak to you when you dedicate time in His presence. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew chapter 24 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
When did they bloom? I don't know exactly if you can pinpoint when Israel bloomed, but if you look at Israel today, they have bloomed. They're the leaders in technology in the world. The iPhone you have today came out of Israel. They're the leaders in technology. They're the leaders in everything. Although they're a tiny nation, they have bloomed. And God said, when you see the nation of Israel in the last days bloom, He said, that generation will see my return. So that's why I believe we're the generation that will see the return of the Lord. But He also said this. He said, in those days, in that last generation, as Israel's blooming, you will see ethnic group rise against ethnic group. The way He said it in Matthew 24 was nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Nation against nation, that word is ethnos. And what He said is you're going to see more ethnic tensions. You're going to see people groups fighting each other, more division. That's exactly what we're seeing, which to me is a greater sign that we are getting toward the end and the return of the Lord. But here's my caution. Look, I expect that in the world. The world's going to be taken advantage of. They don't know any better. They don't walk by the Spirit. We know better. This should never come into the church. And I believe the antidote for this is walking by the Spirit. Because as the church was walking by the Spirit, they were loving one another, and there was unity among them. And you see, it wasn't even an issue about where anyone was from or their background. The issue was the gospel and Jesus Christ, seeing people saved and watching the church thrive. And that should be the same issue that we have today. And so again, diversity, but unity and love, so important as the body of Christ works together and really dying to ourselves, and again, walking according to the Spirit. That really is the cure, is walking in the Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said. And this is interesting in relating to this. So how do we minister to a world that's dividing up in little groups and fighting? How is the church? God has called us to be those that the world looks at and goes, wow, how come they're not dividing? How come they're not fighting about these issues in the culture? How come they're all getting along and they're from all different backgrounds? Why is that? Listen to what Jesus said in John 13, 34, and 35. Speaking to His followers, He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. The world's not going to do that, in other words. And do it as I have loved you, that is laying your life down for each other, that you also may love one another. And here's the key. Look at this. By this, that is that love, that self-denying love, laying our life down for others, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. How are we identified in the world that we're disciples of Christ? That we all love each other, regardless of what our background is, regardless of anything the world's doing. When you come in this place, you're loved. When you come in this place, you're the body of Christ. When you come in this place, you're a brother and sister in the Lord. The world can do what it wants, but we're going to honor Jesus. and we're going to be one. And that's when the Spirit, you know the Spirit's moving when you see that, because that's only done by the Spirit. And so again, this is something that we have to be very careful about and praying against. And I think the answer, as I said, really the antidote is simply walking in the Spirit of God. And how do we keep the church from following in these same traps? Again, I think it's not just walking, but being filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit, walking with God. I know that every day, one of the prayers I pray, I've shared this with you guys. I encourage you to do this. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You know, I do it before I come out and teach. I did it just then a moment ago. I say, God, fill me with your Spirit. You know, I know this. You guys don't need me. I saw what I did to my life. I ruined my life. The last thing you need is me. But what you need is you need the Word of God and the Spirit of God speaking to your heart and changing your lives. And the only way that's going to happen is if I'm filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And the only way you're going to have an impact on your family and your friends and this city is for you to be filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And it will be evident. The world will see it and God will use you. And so that's how we conquer this and how we deal with it. And finding this unity in the Lord. But notice the next thing it says here, and this is where, again, we get into some of the ways they heard clearly the voice of the Lord in that new assignment. Look at verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. I love that. I have it underlined. And they fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them out. Guys, notice this. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. Did you know that you could minister to the Lord? I love that. To think that I can minister to the Lord. Look, I'm the one that needs ministry from the Lord. You're probably saying today, yes, I need it too. I need ministry. But we can minister to the Lord. What a privilege and what an honor it is that God has given us the opportunity to minister back to him. I mean, he could have made it to where we never had any way that we could ever minister to him. It was just him ministering to us. But he allowed this door to be open so that we could express our love back to him in ministering to the Lord. And again, he enjoys it. It's a two-way relationship. He enjoys being ministered to the same way we enjoy being ministered to, because there is that love relationship. The Bible lays out this picture of the marriage relationship, the husband and wife. We're the bride of Christ. And you can imagine if you're showing affection to your spouse and getting nothing back, but how great it is when your spouse is giving you some affection and showing that affection. Again, this is what the Lord enjoys, and it ministers to him. It's a two-way relationship. And so again, it's, you know, you think about when you minister to the Lord today, how do we do that? Again, there's showing love. I think about some of the ways that you do that with a boyfriend or girlfriend or a husband and wife. We see the old picture in the movie about the person down below the window, right? I don't know how often that really happens or if that even happens today, but you know, singing up there, you know, to his girlfriend, you know, whatever the case might be, that's when we're standing below the windows of heaven, we're singing up to God. And we're sharing a heart saying, Lord, I love you. And it ministers to the Lord. Now, I'm sure there's more ways we could talk about ministering to the Lord here, but notice the ones that it mentions. That is, as they ministered, it said they were fasting, and we know they were praying, and in the word and worshiping, it tells us we know that was going on. So we know there was fasting and prayer and worship and the word of God all going on, and they were all ministering to the Lord as they did that. And guys, as we do that, it ministers to the Lord. Right now, as the word of God is being read and you guys are here, you're saying, hey, I came this morning because I want to hear the word of God. And you're here. That's a ministry to the Lord. There's so many things you could be doing this morning, but you said to God, here's what you said, whether you realize it or not, you said to God, you're worth it to me to go and hear your word and to take the time that it takes to sit and to learn about you. That ministers to him. You know, when we were doing the worship earlier, the Bible calls it a sacrifice of praise. It's a ministry to the Lord as we sing to him, as we praise him, just like singing to that window, like I said. You know, it's interesting when you look at how the priests gave us this picture in the Old Testament. The priests would go to the temple when they would offer up their prayers and worship to the Lord, and the altar was outside. You can probably picture that in your mind. And then you would go into the temple. There were two main rooms in the temple. The first room was the holy place, and that's where any of the priests could go who were on duty. Okay, if you're on duty, you could go in the holy place and do ministry there. They had the showbread, they had the altar of incense, which we'll get back to in a moment. They had the menorah, and they had all these things. So the priests would go in there and do their priestly duties to minister to the Lord in that way. And then where the altar of incense was, there was a curtain. And the altar of incense was right up to that curtain, and right behind that curtain was the Holy of Holies. It was the most holy place. You had the holy place and the most holy place. And only the high priest could go in once a year back into the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was to offer blood on behalf of the nation and the national sins. But everybody else had to stay in that front part for the rest of the year. And what they would do is when they would go in for their service, they would offer up prayers, personal prayers, and prayers for the nation. They would take a coal from the altar outside. They would go into that incense altar. They'd put the coal on the incense altar, and they had this very fragrant, special mix of spices that was so special that anybody that mixed it beyond the priests and tried to use it, they were to be put to death, according to the word of God. So they would take this mix of spices, they would take a handful of it, and they would drop it on top of that coal. You can picture it in your mind, just pouring on that coal. And as it hit it, it began to sizzle, and this plume of smoke, not the kind of smoke you would cough at, it was a clear, breathable, very fragrant smoke, they said. It would fill the room with this cloud, and you'd smell this beautiful fragrance that not only filled the room, it'd get in your clothes, it would go out the door, everything you were around. And it was this picture of offering up the prayers and the worship to God and filling the throne room of heaven with a beautiful fragrance and appreciation to the Lord. Now, again, prayer and fasting, spending time does the same thing. As we pray with God, we're communicating. As we're reading the word of God, we're communicating. And as we're fasting, we're also communicating. Now, again, I think we all understand what prayer and the word means in this particular example here, and maybe even worship. But what about fasting? Why is fasting important? Now, guys, here's a real danger that I fell into as a baby Christian. It becomes a work. Don't let fasting be a work. I hate to fast. I love the result of fasting, but I hate to fast. I like to eat. I enjoy it. But fasting is something that we're to do from time to time if we're to get in tune with the Spirit. Now, note this. It's not something you do that pleases God, okay? So-and-so fasted this many days or did that, whatever. Now I'm happy and I'll do whatever. No, that's not what this is about at all. It's about deadening your senses in the fleshly realm, the worldly realm, the things around us, whether it's denying watching movies, TV, eating, whatever. You're getting more in tune with the Spirit. As you deaden the senses in the flesh, you can hear God's Spirit better. So that's what fasting does. It doesn't just make you hungry. I can remember again as a baby Christian just being hungry all day and then eating that night and thinking, well, I wonder if that did anything. I don't know what that did, right? And then I began to understand, you know, I really need to press in. I really need to allow this denial of the flesh to cause me to pray, to cause me to seek God's face. And then through that, I began to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly. And so fasting is a way you can deaden the senses of the fleshly realm, the earthly realm, and bring alive the senses of the spiritual realm. And notice they were doing that. Notice the result of them doing that. It says, as they did that here, look at this. It says, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. I love this. The result was they not only heard his voice, they heard it clearly, without dispute, and it's received clear direction for their life. I'm calling you to go out into the mission field. That's what God was telling them. He gave them very clear direction. And so again, why is this so amazing and important for us? Do you need to clearly hear the voice of the Lord? Is that something you need? Again, I think most of us in this room would say, yes, that's something I need. I always need to clearly hear the voice of the Lord. Then you do the same thing they did here. Set aside time to worship, time to pray, time to be in the Word. Maybe set aside, start out if you've never fasted with a short fast and whatever, and begin to seek the Lord in that way. And God's going to begin to speak to you in a way that you can clearly hear. You say, Lord, I need an answer. I don't want it to be me. And I don't want to be confused about this. Then God says, you do this, do what they did. I will speak to you. God will be faithful as we deaden our senses in this world to be connected to the spiritual. And that's exactly what he did here. He said, separate to me, Paul and Barnabas, of what I've called them to do. And so they would need to understand this clear direction. Why? Because again, they were there establishing the early church. For these guys to leave, these were the two main leaders. You get your main teacher, you've got probably your main evangelist, certainly your main encourager. And God is saying, I'm sending you out. Not only would the people need to know that was God, so they wouldn't be discouraged, but Paul and Barnabas would need to know that that's God, to know they're hearing the voice of the Lord. It's like, Lord, why would you send us out? You're doing a great work here because I want to send you somewhere else and start another new work. And now we know historically God sent them out. They went to all these different towns. They established other churches the way they did there in Antioch. And you have all these different churches as it began to spread around the globe. And so that was a call of the Lord, and they were able to hear it, having fasted and prayed. And then having fasted and prayed, notice it says, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Look at this. In verse 4, it says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that's another underliner, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Why is that so huge? And why did I underline sent out by the Holy Spirit? Because again, note this, guys, and there's a balance here, but it's not the church nor men praying or laying hands on them that calls someone into ministry. It is the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that sends into ministry. That's key. It doesn't mean that the church is not involved. Matter of fact, the church should be involved. Look, if somebody feels they're being called to go out and do something, if the church leadership doesn't recognize that, or none of their friends recognize that, it's probably not the Lord. It's probably something that someone's wanting to do on their own. And the danger of that is if you go out on your own and it's not the Holy Spirit, you're going to be discouraged. And you're going to be defeated because it's not going to be blessed. There's not going to be fruit in the midst of it. The key is to make sure that it's the Lord. But the first point, again, to note is that it's not the church or men that does the commissioning. It's the Holy Spirit. God ordains. Man simply recognizes it and makes it official before others. And so don't feel like you have to, again, if God's put something in your heart, what you do is begin to seek the Lord and say, all right, God, confirm it in the leadership. Confirm it in those around me, and so that I know this is you. Because here's the second part of that. Yes, it is God that calls and God that commissions, the Holy Spirit that sends out, but God will also use the church and the leaders around you and those in your life to confirm it. Again, because if it's not confirmed again, it can be disastrous. And we'll see again here in just a moment, maybe not disastrous, but certainly discouraging. We'll see that happen to John Mark. We'll touch on that in just a moment. So there's a balance. Is it the Lord? God confirms it. And then thirdly, it's waiting on the timing of the Lord. Again, I remember when I was going into missions and I was in Santa Fe. We've been there for 7 years or so, and there on staff, and we had a home and a school for our kids, and it was a great life. It really was. A lot of green chili and all, you know, we had everything we needed. If you're not from New Mexico, you don't know what I'm talking about. But either way, it was wonderful. And God began to move in my heart in the mission field and say, I'm calling you back to Knoxville. And I didn't know at that time. I suspected it was God. And I began to read that morning. We're coming back from Romania, and we stopped in Hungary. And I got up that morning reading the word. And Paul writes again, we'll see later in one of his gospels, again, even dealing with Mark here in Acts. He writes, send Mark to me. He's profitable for the ministry. And I'm thinking, all right, well, God is going to be sending me somewhere, I think. Lord, if you want to send me back to Knoxville, I'm from Tennessee, or whatever the case might be, I'm willing to go, but I want you to show me through the leadership. You need to speak through my pastor, because I want to make sure this is not me. I want to make sure it's supernatural, and this affects our whole family. There's a lot of stuff going on. So I go back, and I kid you not, I meet with him. He's, how's it going? How'd it go on the mission field? Tell me about it. And one of the first things he said after that was, I need you to know something. He said, God put in my heart while you were gone to let you know that if you feel called to go out and plant a church, then you're free to go. And I was like, you're not going to believe this. And I saw his face drop. He told me later, he said, I did not want that answer. He said, I was not wanting you to leave. He said, I was hoping you'd say, no, I'm here forever, type thing. But I knew it was the Lord, and God confirmed it. So why do I share that? Just so you have a balance. God does the call. God gives the commission. And maybe you're feeling that or hearing that in your heart, but it will be confirmed by those that God puts in your life around you. And so it's equally as important to make sure that you have those that you trust that can say, yes, my hand is in this. Again, I look and again, even the timing of it. I want to encourage you guys in timing. You think about Moses. Moses got the call to rescue the children of Israel, to bring them out of Egypt, right? But get this, he got it 40 years before it was time. Moses goes out and tries to make it happen. Remember, he killed the man that was fighting with the Hebrews, and Pharaoh runs him out of town, and he's gone for 40 years in the backside of the desert. And by the time he was ready, he didn't want to do it anymore. And God goes to Moses and said, now go back and do it. I called you. Like, no, get somebody else, right? I've already kind of moved on or whatever. But the bottom line is, no, I called you, but it wasn't the right time. And so we have to know the call. We have to confirm the call, and we have to pray about what is the timing of the call. And it doesn't mean because you're called that you're heading out somewhere. It might be a call right here. You know, the only thing that doesn't ever need to be confirmed is working in kids' ministry. But besides that, everything else has to be the Holy Spirit. That can be the flesh. I'm kidding, but there's always a need there. But the bottom line is, you have to look, and if you feel that call, make sure all those elements are there. God, I think you've called me. Is there any confirmation by the people around you and the church leadership or others, any kind that shows that? And if it's not church leadership, maybe you don't know them good, but other people around you, whatever the case might be, and what's the timing? Because Moses, when he tried to step out before the Lord's timing, it died. Quite literally, a man died as he killed someone. So there's a whole picture there of not being ready. It wasn't time. Now we're going to see the same thing here happens to John Mark. Because he no doubt was saying, let me go, let me go, let me go. I want to be with you guys. But it would appear that he wasn't called because of what we'll note here. But notice what it says, verse 5. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John, that is John Mark, the writer of Mark. They also had John as their assistant. Now, what we're going to see, when they get out there in the thick of things, right in the middle of the call, right in the middle of all the battle that's going on, John Mark, he bolts. He takes off. It doesn't tell us why. I think that we can look at it and go, I think that probably he got out there, he wasn't ready. He wanted to go with his uncle Barnabas, because Barnabas was his uncle. He saw them going out. He was excited about ministry. He was excited about serving, which is a good quality and a good trait. But he probably wasn't ready, so he goes out and he jets back home. And again, that later on is going to cause a division between Paul and Barnabas where they quit doing ministry together because Barnabas wants to give Mark another shot. He's his nephew, which again, he should have given him another shot. Paul was all business, so Paul was like, look, I can't take a chance on this guy. No way he's going to go with us, and this whole division took place. But I think that what we just talked about is maybe what happened with John Mark is he heard the call, but he heard it at the wrong time. Because later on, as we noted earlier, remember Paul said, send Mark to me. He's profitable for the ministry. And again, this was the same Mark that Paul said, no way that guy's going with me, right? But now he'd seen the maturity. He'd seen the years and the time go by. And he says, I want this guy with me. He's useful for the ministry. And so, but the last thing I want you to note here, guys, before we wrap it up today is this. Notice what they did when God called them out and they were being led by the Spirit. One of the evidences of being led by the Spirit is, notice this, they went into the synagogues and they preached the word of God. Now, why do I say that's one of the evidences of the Spirit? It's not just a good talk. It's not just encouragement. It's not just a good few verses from the Bible. That can be appropriate at certain times. But truly being led by the Spirit and called by the Spirit to go and do ministry among God's people is going to be the teaching of the Word of God. And again, I believe that the whole Bible is what makes a whole Christian. And I think we need to hear the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not saying that again, if you don't work through all Genesis to Revelation, somehow you're not being faithful to the Lord. But again, you'll notice this as they go out, everywhere we see them now through Acts, they're going to be preaching and teaching the Word. When Jesus traveled from village to village, you'll see, and you'll note this now as you go through the Gospels, it says he preached the Word. It doesn't say they gave a good speech or they did a TED Talk or they did whatever the case might be. No, they preached the Word. And that's what we need to be committed to, not just as a church, which we are committed to doing here, but as you answer the call that God has given you, you need to be committed to teaching the Word of God. And by the way, for moms and dads, that starts at home. That starts at home. If you are not teaching your own family and ministering to them, then God can't use you very greatly in the body of Christ. I'm not saying you couldn't be used at all, but certainly it's got to begin in the home. So where are we finished today? Where is that? Look, do some of you feel that you're being called? Maybe you're hearing a call for the first time. Maybe some of you feel you're being reassigned. Like Paul and Barnabas were. Maybe some of you think, well, I think maybe God's speaking to me, but I'm not sure. Maybe some of you this morning are desperate saying, I've got to hear God like now. I mean, this is like now. I need to know, what am I supposed to do? Then do what they did in the early church. Set aside a time of prayer and worship and in the Word, which should be a normal part of our life anyway. And you might want to add in temporarily some fasting. Allow those fleshly desires to be pushed to the side. And again, to be more open to hearing the Spirit move in your life, because God spoke very clearly to them by the Holy Spirit, and God will speak very clearly to you by the Holy Spirit as well. And so as we finish today, I want to pray for you. And I want to ask for those of you that are saying, is this God? Is it not God? Whatever's going on in your heart about what you feel God is saying to you, that you would do what's necessary to hear him. Now, it might be, I said this last service, it might be that God just tells you without fasting. And when I announced that, they all clapped. So again, I think the last service was, I don't know if they were hungry. I don't know what was going on with them. I would think you guys would be more hungry. You're the ones getting ready for lunch. But God can do that. God can just tell you. It doesn't mean you have to fast for God to speak. Remember, it's not a work. But you know, it might be that God is telling some of you, I want you to fast. I want you to set a day aside. I want you to set a couple days aside. God will lead you, whatever that is, and you seek the Lord and let God speak. But I want to pray that you guys, that all of us would hear the Spirit of the Lord and that we again would learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, because we need that more than ever.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. And we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.